Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. Name's Russ M., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Norristown, PA. Today is Friday, June 12, 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are back in Chapter 4, We Agnostics, and we're reading one paragraph and sharing on that paragraph, and it's page 44, the fourth paragraph, starting with a mirror code of morals, ending with, they failed utterly. We're just going to share on that paragraph. All right, today's readers, the 12 steps, Olivia K., the 12 traditions, Tenzin P. Starting us off reading and sharing is Tina S. Page 164 is Mar Z. Backup reader is Mar Jo. Newcomer greeters, Colleen M. Second hour host is Robin L. And Janice PM is going to take care of announcements. Our share IDs for yesterday, Thursday, June 11th, 2026, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,539. That's 23,539. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,540. All right, the OA preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who experience strength and hope or recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting or accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence in the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. And I asked Olivia K. to read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Russ. This is Olivia K., compulsive eater from Illinois, and these are the 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for help letting me do service today.
Thanks, Olivia. Next is Tenzin P. with the 12 traditions.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. Tenzin P. checking in from New York. And here are our 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tenzin. Thanks again, Olivia. How our meeting works. Focuses on directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. Read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star one to mute your phone. That's star one to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speakers should be muted. So we resume our study in Weak Agnostics, chapter 4, page 44, the fourth paragraph, starting with a mere code of morals, ending with they failed utterly. And we're just sharing on that paragraph. And Tina S. is going to start us off.
Thanks so much, Russ. Tina S., recovered compulsive eater, anorexic in Florida. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. But we found that such codes and philosophies did not save us, no matter how much we tried. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly. Wow, what a paragraph. You know, when I first read this paragraph, I thought, what's this really have to do with anything, code of morals? But when I really dive into what the paragraph means to me, I had tried so many things on my own power. I had a great idea of what my life should be like. I knew right from wrong, and I knew how to make it happen, or so I thought. And it says we could will these things with all our might. And didn't I just do that? Self will run riot for sure. And I have in my Big Book, a sick mind cannot heal a sick mind. And that is certainly what I had for many, many years, thinking that I could do this on my own. How many times it says we, or I could put I in there, and in the previous paragraph, once I get to this place of I am utterly defeated, it says our human resources, as marshaled by the will, were not sufficient. They failed utterly, and they failed utterly over and over and over again. how many times did I have to be beaten down? Till I, you know, when I came in here and they told me that the answer was a spiritual solution, I thought, I didn't really need any of that. But, you know, back against the wall in the previous paragraph, it says, but after a while, we had to face the fact that we must find a spiritual basis of life. And, you know, and that's what happened for me. You know, I came in here still trying to do it my way, you know, sitting next to somebody thinking maybe I could get it from them. But this God idea, and I wasn't too keen about that, you know. But after a while, seeing what was working for other people, I thought, let's just try this thing, you know. God, good orderly direction, that could just be what it was, you know. For me, a lot of times it was a group of drunks, you know. And when I put down, you know, my idea of what my life should be like, and I started to just to do the next right thing and to do what you told me to do, you know, I finally got some peace. I got some freedom, you know, working these steps. I got a solution. Today, I continue to have a solution. But if I get stuck in my mind on my ideas on what I think I should do, I'm going to be screwed, you know, on a daily basis. You know, I get up and I ask God to run my life today, you know, and that's not, you know, what I got here, that's not what I came here for. You know, I came here for a diet. Thank you very much. And today what I have is freedom in my life, in all areas of my life, once I choose to have something bigger than me direct my actions. And, you know, I'm really looking forward to what everyone else has to share. And with that, I pass. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Tina. Appreciate it. Now we're going to open up the lines for Sharon. And although we value experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day. So if you share on Wednesday, Thursday, please step back. And what I'll need from you is your first name, first initial, and the last name, where you're calling from, and we'll try to do it one at a time. I know this is so hard, and I'll let you know where we're at. Okay.
Eat me.
My goodness. All right, Sally A. Pete.
B. Rick J.
Rick.
Morrissey.
Or
Liz S.
Sherry S.
Peter B.
Sherry.
Jason KP.
Hold on. Please.
Lisa Joe B.
Hold on, please. Pretty please. I got Sherry. I got Sherry and Jason, but there was someone else in there.
Liz S.
I got you, Liz. And thanks. Sherry, I don't know the person. First initial of your last name, Jason KP. And there was someone around that.
Pedro B.
Oh, Pedro, that's right. I'm sorry. And then Lisa Joe B. I think there's one more.
Cheryl L.
NWH.
Okay. All right, Ken. Joe L. Ken. This is a good list. We'll catch the rest of these later on the next round. Thank you. So Sally A, Pete B, Rick J, Maura Z, Liz S, Sherry, I just didn't get your first initial, Jason KP, Paige B, Lisa Joe B, Joe L, and Ken WH. All right, Sally, you're up.
You didn't get Dorita.
Thank you so much. Good morning.
Dorita, we'll put you up on the next round.
Thank you.
Yeah, you got it.
Okay. Good morning. It's Sally A. in New York, recovered compulsive overeater. Thank you so much for your service. And thanks for that lead share. That was really very helpful. So if a mere code of morals or a better philosophy, I've always believed that this paragraph was speaking to me about what I do and how I think. If a mere code of morals, what I do, or a better philosophy, how I think of life, were sufficient to overcome alcoholism. And it covers a lot. If I just work out more, if I just read another self-help book, a code of morals, what I do, or a better philosophy, how I think, if I could just study enough, if I could learn enough, if I could fall into the right podcast, if I could find the right therapist, many of us would have recovered long ago, but we found that such codes, what I do, and philosophies, how I think, did not save us, no matter how much we tried. And that was my story. We could wish to be moral, or we could wish to be philosophically comforted. I could wish to do all the right things, or I could have all the right thinking, all of the right studies, the right degrees. In fact, we could will these things with all our might, my self-control, my willpower, but the needed power wasn't there. Our human resources, all of these things at our fingertips, all of these programs, all of these food. I tried everything. I did Weight Watchers twice and binged for 4 days and then fasted for 3 days and then got applause because I lost 0.2 ounces at the end of a week. It doesn't work for me. This worked for other people. It doesn't work for the true sugar addict. Our human resources as marshaled by the will. I could roll up my sleeves and march in and I'll do exactly what they tell me to do and it won't touch this disease. It was not sufficient. And they had over and over failed me because once again, they're going to explain to us there's only one thing that can help me and that is my higher power, my God, that will save me from this. Thanks for letting me share.
All right, Sally, thank you. Next up is Pete B, followed by Rick J.
Thanks, Russ, for taking the meeting. You're doing a great job. Appreciate your service. And thanks, Tina, for the opening share. So what do we think these 12 steps are but another code of morals and better philosophy of life? See, if we're using these steps as a means to keep us on the straight and narrow with our food plan and our disease of compulsively overeating, we're missing the picture. We're missing the big picture here. Because that's all, I mean, what do we think, you know, moral inventory and weighing and measuring our emotions as we go through the day and checking our thoughts and feelings and motivations with another person are? In the absence of doing it in order to develop a relationship with the only power that will relieve the merciless obsession, they're just codes of morals and better philosophies to try to implement to try to get us what we think we want, which is a, you know, relief from the merciless obsession, or maybe just a better body, or just a bunch of friends to support us in our, you know, bizarre thinking. And I'm not excluding myself from that statement. You know, we have to recognize that this process, this what we're reading here, we agnostics, is not so much a you know, trying to convince somebody that, you know, there's a power greater than ourselves, but more so trying to convince us that we can't do what's necessary in order to overcome this condition. And we also have to recognize that no other human power can do what is necessary to overcome this condition, right? We talk about setting aside everything we think we know. It's a good idea to set aside what we think we know and maybe take some suggestions from someone else, but that someone else that we take suggestions from ought to be informed about the facts of the condition and the process for recovery. Right, and the process for recovery requires us to surrender 100% unconditional to a power greater than ourselves. Because that is the only thing that's going to remove this merciless obsession. You know, step two is about coming to believe that God will restore us to sanity. This is more about what we're reading right here is more about extinguishing the idea that I will be able to restore myself to sanity, that implementing a new process in life and enlisting a bunch of friends to help me do so will not restore me to sanity. Only a power greater than myself will be able to restore me to sanity and remove this merciless obsession. So with that, I'm going to pass. Thanks.
Thanks, Pete. Appreciate it. Next up is Rick J, followed by Maura Z.
Good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for your service. And thank you, Tina. Thanks, everybody, for being here. And really love listening to the shares this morning. I'm Rick J. I am a recovered compulsive overeater in North Carolina. And finally re-entering the world of the living, it feels like I've got my new titanium shoulder, and I'm getting there, you know. So, you know, it took a lot for me to go through the, you know, the desperation and the acceptance of being an alcoholic. And it took a lot for me to get sober. And when I did get sober, and when I was, you know, like living a life worth living and living in the promises, I truly felt that I had spiritually arrived in my life. But then a funny thing started happening. You know, when I put down the alcohol, I picked up food, which I had originally started from the age of 5 years old. And part of me was like, okay, wait just a minute here. This is food we're talking about. You just put down the food, you know, and I would go to meetings and I would, you know, sponsor people and I'd talk with my sponsor and, you know, and yet my eating started getting more and more out of control. And there was this fury deep within me that's like, are you effing kidding me? You mean to say that I've gone through all this and I actually survived some extreme consequences of my alcoholism only to find myself, you know, sitting alone in the dark, eating out of control? And I was so angry that I could not control this. And I was sharing at a meeting, after a meeting, with a friend. And, you know, he was like, well, you know, they do have a 12-step program for that. And I ended up at my first meeting, and I did not want to be there. And I went just partly knowing that I was in the right place, but I could not concede to my innermost self for a long, long time that I was beyond human aid with my eating. And it tells us all about that, and there's a solution, you know. We're beyond human aid, and we've passed into a region where there is no return from human aid without spiritual help. And this first paragraph in We Agnostics, you know, it ends, you know, that be the case, you may be suffering from an illness which only a spiritual experience will conquer. And it's taken me years to get to the point where I've truly conceded that. And I connect with my higher power, which is the only thing that can save me, 24/7 without a pass.
Thanks, Rick. Next up is Maura Z, followed by Liz S.
Good morning, Russ. Thanks so much for your service. Maura Z, I'm gratefully recovered, and I'm in Virginia. I don't know if I can add anything to what has been said. We've had some master speakers this morning, but I'll just, you know, do my little take on it. We could wish to be moral. We could wish to be philosophically comforted. I could wish a whole lot of things for my life. But the problem is, wishes don't always come true. They have to be followed by action. And the action that I need to take in order to have this power come into my life is I have to choose to connect to that power. Because I have to realize and I have to admit that on my own, I am powerless. My human resources are not sufficient. I will fail utterly every time, and I've proved that to be true. I cannot do this. I have to have power outside of myself, and it's got to be a greater power than myself. And that power is God, or higher power if you choose to call. It's all a matter of surrender. I can't do this on my own. I have to have help from a higher power. It's not going to happen just because Maura wants it. I have to want this life, but I have to know that on my own, I cannot achieve it. And the life I have today is, oh my gosh, so much better than anything I've ever had before. I'm going to keep coming back. I'm going to keep connecting to my higher power. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Maura. Next up is Liz S., followed by Sherry.
Good morning. This is Liz S. in Oregon. I'm a recovered compulsive eater, and I'm grateful that you're here today, Russ, doing service. Well, while we were reading, I got a vision in my head about sitting in my car, actually my husband's car, because he's got a newer car. And it's got one of those key fobs and a push button start. Now, I have six brothers. A lot of car knowledge got passed around. I know that there's a carburetor. I can change it. I can, you know, blah, blah, blah. I can do the spark plugs. I can do the oil. Unless I take the action of making it so that the power in the car is connected to all these parts that I know about, I don't get any locomotion. Just like in this program, if I don't take the footwork and the action of putting that power, connecting with that power, making that power part of my life and touch all the things that I do, I'm not going to get anywhere. I'm going to sit in a two-ton car in the garage wishing I could get out on the road. And it's like that for me with program. For me, you know, driving a car is the most dangerous thing I do every day. It's 2 tons of metal, and I move it around. Just like it, going out into the world without my higher power is the most dangerous thing I can do for myself and my health and my well-being and my spirit. So next time you turn on the ignition, however you do it, remember it's your higher power going to work. And remember that when you pray and meditate, and I pass.
All right, Liz, before Sherry jumps up here, let me let you know where we're at. We are on page 44, fourth paragraph, starting with a mere code of morals, if a mere code of morals, ending with they fail utterly. All right, Sherry, you're up.
Hi, Sherry S. from Wisconsin.
Got it.
Thanks, Russ, for leading, taking the meeting. So, you know, it's funny. This paragraph gets me because I work in human resources, and I have to make sure as the director that our employees follow this code of morals, policies, procedures, values, all that jazz. But, you know, so I've been a moral upstanding citizen most of my life. However, when it comes to food, I take my will back. You know, we're in we agnostics, and I've heard people share earlier this week about the pockets of agnosticism or the areas of agnosticism where we just don't think our higher power, I choose to call God, but I'll say higher power, that it, I can handle it. You know, that's the other piece. I don't need HP on this because I can handle it. Well, I joined OA in 1996, and I did it Sherry's way for decades. I lost 100 pounds, gained it, lost it, gained it, lost it, gained it. Did I lose weight? Absolutely. Was my life better? Absolutely. Did I get the gifts of the program? No. Because I wasn't truly abstinent. I was following a diet. Today, and now that I put down all my alcoholic foods and turned over my life to my higher power, not just pieces of my life, but my entire life, I've been abstinent and recovered for close to 2.5 years. I have never in all of my years of recovery felt the freedom, serenity, and joy that I have today. So if you're new, if you're struggling, understand that I have to put down my alcoholic food completely, and I have to let my higher power run my life. I have to put my pride down and understand that I can't do this. I can't run any part of my life. I can do the work. I can put the work in, but I have to have that higher power who guides my life. And it's so much easier. I don't have to worry about all the other things.
Time.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sherry S. from Wisconsin.
Thanks, Sherry. Next up is Jason KP and then Pedro B.
Good morning, Jason KP, recovered compulsive eater from Pennsylvania, not too far away from Russ here in the Philadelphia region. This is a really, really great, great paragraph. And, you know, remember we're in We Agnostics. Bill's really trying to convince us that on our own unaided human will, any human or material power is not sufficient, not going to provide us with the power we need. He's leading us towards this conclusion that our problem, in essence, is lack of power. Our solution, in essence, is gaining access to this power. And for me, what this paragraph sort of speaks to is false starts and false idols. You know, I practiced Buddhism intensively, meditating all the time in my early 20s. Part of that was driven by this compulsive eating and great spiritual malady and discontent. I didn't get access to the power. I switched over to something called nonviolent communication. They had people eat compulsively and engage in addictive behaviors for this reason. Dove right in, became a certified trainer. I spent so much money, so many trainings, learned some great skills in compassionate communication, ate compulsively throughout it. Over time, I looked at false idols of, the medical field. If I get this right medication to solve my depression, I won't feel bad. I won't eat compulsively. When I found out I had low testosterone, I'm exhausted, I'm tired, I need to eat compulsively. All of this are smoke screens. All of this is, you know, the red herrings, the false idols. It didn't actually give me access to the higher power, to God, right? So who did I believe in, right? All these the self-help books. I have the huge library of self-help books. Nothing really helped. And I tried earnestly. You know, this paragraph says we earnestly, you know, tried. We'd exerted ourselves with all of our will, and it didn't spell the necessary experience, and we didn't gain access to the needed power. So accepting his last statement here, our human resources marshaled by the will were not sufficient. They failed utterly, right? And this is why, as we approach step two, step one is a history of these false starts, a history of these countless vain attempts to get abstinent, to put down these foods, for me to stop binging and purging. You know, I was always telling people, and always in my mind, I'm going to lose the weight. I'm going to lose the weight. Today's the day. And then in the failure, ashamed of myself. Oh, I'm not doing it. I'm going to do it, but ashamed of myself. And this conclusion that I can't do it no matter how hard I tried was the needed sort of fuel of discouragement to finally fully submit and surrender in my first step experience when something broke inside of me. And Mikey's in the background cheering me on, and I think that's a good stopping point. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Jay. Appreciate it. Next up is Pedro B., followed by Lisa Joe B.
Hey, good morning. Can I be heard, Ross?
Yes.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Pedro B. I live in San Bernardino, California. I'm grateful to be here, grateful to be alive, and abstinent for today. Primary purpose is to stay, you know. Definitely, if I had the power, I would have been able to stay abstinent. The fact for me is that I have always found a way to change the rules. That's one of the things I do. I was thinking about the part in the book that says that defiance is an outstanding characteristic of the alcoholic. The rules don't apply to me. I'm different. You know, and that's one of my problems. But in the very next paragraph, it says lack of power. I found that to be true. You know, I lack the power to stay abstinent. And today I'm working on connecting to this power, getting out of myself, like it was pointed out by my good friend. You know, your problem is that, you know, you're too preoccupied with yourself, Pedro. You know, you have to get it out of yourself. Selfishness and self-centeredness is the root of our troubles. It's on page 62, I believe, yeah. And if I could have, you know, stay abstinent, I would not need to come to a compulsive overeater. If you knew, you know, I suggest that you connect to this power greater than yourself, this power that wants us to be happy, joyous, and free, this power that can, you know, do the job. Because, you know, and the thing is that, you know, my problem is living. Right? In the very next paragraph, we have to find a power by we could live. It doesn't say a power by I could eat, not eat, drink, or not drink. No, a power that I could live. Right? It's about living. So I'm grateful that today I'm connected to this power that's helping me stay abstinent for these 24 hours in front of me. This is a 24-hour day program for me. And I'm grateful. Thank you. I'll come back tomorrow. Thank you.
All right there, Pedro. Thanks a lot. Next up is Lisa Joe B., followed by, I think it's Joelle.
Hey, everyone. It's Lisa Joe B. in Denver, Colorado. Gratefully recovered by God's grace only. When I was in the disease, one of my morals was honesty. One of my values was honesty. But the disease didn't allow me to be honest. I lied to myself, therefore I lied to others, and it crushed me that my integrity was destroyed by this disease, and it was brutal. I kept playing around with my food plan. I would switch things around. I would end up in the food, and as a result, I would lie to myself and say, well, it's real maple syrup and not sugar. That's fine. But I kept relapsing. I didn't make the connection. And I used to beat myself up and beat my head against a brick wall trying to think myself out of this. I tried to think myself into surrendering, too, and that was just just crazy making. And recently I've been in depression for the past, off and on, mostly on, for the past 2 or 3 months. And by God's grace, I have stayed sober. I don't know exactly how, but one of my fellows, or our fellows, asked me what I did different. Well, I held on to that food plan, but most importantly, I held on to God for dear life. I begged, I pleaded, I prayed, even though I couldn't feel his presence. I leaned into my faith. And that is a miracle. I'm floored. And, you know, God has given me this image for a while, and that is a nail, a rusted nail being hammered into a coffin. And that is what happens when I pick up the food when my mood is low. It makes it a trillion times worse, and it's life-threatening, and I'm going to die from this disease, if not from complications from my own hands. So I just want to be of service, and God's using me in that way, and the selfishness and self-centeredness has dropped away because I want to live a God-centered life, and God is giving me safety and protection against the enemy, against this disease. So with that, I pass. I hope everyone has a great day. Thanks.
All right, Easter B, thank you. Next up is, I believe, Joe L., followed by Ken W.H.
Could it be Cheryl L.?
Okay, that's what it probably was. All right, Cheryl, thank you.
Thank you, Russ. My name is Cheryl L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater living in the state of Florida. Grateful to be on the meeting and grateful to be on this paragraph. This chapter is just so important to me. If a mere code of morals or a better philosophy of life were sufficient to overcome alcoholism, many of us would have recovered long ago. You know, I entered Overeaters Anonymous after having more than 10 years in another program for the first, you know, in the first time. And when I look at it now, I wanted, you know, I wanted to look like everybody in that room of the meeting room. I was willing to do what was laid out for me, you know, get a food plan, you know, go to meetings, work the steps. But I never really got thoroughly honest with myself. And I had to get down to that fact. I had to get down to the truth that, you know, I can't do this myself. And it took me a long time to get to that place of just surrender, of really just opening my hands and saying, yeah, I can't do this. I need God's help. I have a favorite quote, and it's, most people are as happy as they make up their mind to be. And that was one of the kind of like my philosophies of life. Okay, if you just make up your mind, you know, you're going to be okay. You're going to, you know, and I don't know if that's denial, like just skipping merrily along the way, no matter what's going on around you, or if that's, you know, if that's really a good thing. Today, I just realized how much I need God. And, you know, my sponsor told me this, you know, time and time again, when I'd be struggling, she'd be like, have you gone to God with this? And the truth be told, I really wasn't. I was studying, I was reading, I was writing. I was trying to figure it out. And, you know, that I had to just give up. And today, I am in food neutrality, and I have been for quite some time. But every once in a while, those old thoughts still creep in, you know, and I have a reminder as well. Because I have memories of the times when I went running to the food instead of running to God. you know, in a fit of anger, you know, rage at somebody. I couldn't act out against them. So I acted out against myself and I picked up food. Okay. And I'll just say that, you know, just being propelled towards the food, I had to put something in the way of that food, and that putting something in the way of the food, you know, is my higher power. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Cheryl. Next up is Ken WH, and then I think we'll be able to take two or three more.
Thanks, Russ. This is Ken WH, compulsive overeater from North Carolina. I do have some thoughts on this, and it comes with a disclaimer. I may think they're great ideas, like the new thing on television or whatever, the new pill or whatever, and then at the bottom, at the end, while they're looking very happy and pleased with the outcome, all of the disclaimers are on there. So these thoughts and my ideas come with that disclaimer of all that can go wrong with that. So take it as you will. I've been aware of power issues all my life. I mean, I know what power is. I knew what it was like to get my backside slapped for disciplinary reasons. I know what it's like to be afraid to even think about going to the principal's office. I knew that was power. I knew what it was like to obey Officer Callahan as he directed traffic in the middle of the street. When he held up his hand, I stopped. I knew what power was. But that's talking in generalities, and that's what this paragraph starts as for me, mere code of morals and better philosophy of life. Those are generalities. You know, I needed some specific help because it says to me later in the page, we can try with these things all we might. Try to do these things, think these things, and do it on my own will. But the needed power wasn't there. What power did I need for this illness that I have? I needed a power greater than myself that would restore me to sanity. That's the first thing. And I needed a power greater than myself that would solve my problem with food. Keep it simple. Get away from the generalities about moral philosophies and everything else. Get away from that, Ken. Get specific. What do you need? The needed power was one that would solve my problem with food. Keep it simple, period. And I had to focus on that. And I had to realize that I didn't have the power, and I didn't even understand the power that I needed, or that I even needed it for so long. I had to come to terms with the fact that in this specific case, forget about all the other stuff that I think I'm powerful over, in this particular case, I needed a power that could solve my problem with food and restore me to sanity. That's all I needed to know. I came to believe that a particular power could solve my problem with food. Thank God that has happened. I pass. Thanks, Russ.
Thanks, Ken. All right, so we already got Dorita P. We can only take one more. Who would like?
Leia.
All right, Leia got it. And I think that's going to be it for today.
Oh, okay.
Sorry about that, Aime. Dorita, you're up.
Thank you, Russ. Thank you so much for your service. My name is Dorita Pippen. I'm from Cleveland, Ohio. Really grateful to be here. It's a privilege and honor to be at a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous. Everybody do not get this opportunity for whatever reason, so I'm really grateful I have a seat here. Thank you all for all the shares that came before me. But Tina S., she talked about, you know, she said, I had an idea of what my life should be like, and I added what my life should look like. But I failed utterly. You know, I failed utterly at this thing called life. And when I would leave, I would say somewhere in life, they gave a class called Life 101. Those are usually the first college class numbers. And but I say I missed that semester or did something because I had no idea of how to live my life. I had an idea of what I wanted out of life, and I even had some idea of how to go about getting it. But like I knew nothing about resentment. And I'm really grateful that I know about resentments and I know about God. And I also know about love. And I know that God is love, love is God. And, you know, I have to keep that in mind because what's natural to me is resentment. You know, like a two-year-old, I want what I want when I want it. But if I don't get it, yeah, I'm a cop of attitude or cop of resentment. So I'm just really grateful about my relationship with God and to know that God is love and love is God. And so I love you all, and I'm really grateful to be here. And thank you again, Russ, for your service. Thank you.
Thanks, Dorita. Next up is Leia S., and we'll see where we're at.
Thank you so much. Thank you. What a powerful meeting. As always, so thankful and grateful from Brooklyn, New York. I'm going to say something that I heard always, walk the walk, talk the talk. And I could, you know, those that said it would always say it with confidence and knowledge, and then they wouldn't elaborate. Well, I'm here to elaborate. You know, from the get-go, I was told to read the preface and read it in depth. And every time you go to like a Barnes & Noble or something, or you want to buy something in the library or you want to take out from the library, you know, you're going to read the first page, the last page, or some index of what this book is all about. And from the get-go, this big book is talking about how it expanded, how people really, really wanted it. In those days, they didn't have any computers and stuff like that. And you know what? And my sponsor said, if you're just going to do one part of the program, it's just not going to work. Don't come to me and tell me that it didn't work. And I wasn't interested in coming back and pointing fingers, really. I was interested more in my life and in living each day because I felt it. I felt it within my heart, and I knew I had to give it my all. And so walk the walk, talk the talk, which means study this book and understand it and apply it to Leia. Apply it, and if you can't, seek out the help of those who are in the program, who are possibly in your situation, and then put down that phone and access that higher power. What is right for me? What is good for me? And what is really in the ultimate end? Your will. Anyway, with that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Leah. Amy G, if you want to take a minute, we could do a minute if you want. If not, we'll close it out.
I'm good, Russ. Thank you. I didn't realize how late it was. No worries. I can share Monday. Thank you so much for your service. Awesome meeting.
All right. Thank you. All right. So last is our final share. Thank you to everyone who shared, everyone that did service for this meeting. We ain't doing it if nobody's volunteering, so thanks for the service. Please join us for another second unrecorded hour of study media following closing. And today's share ID, Friday, June 12, 2026, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, is 23,542. 23,542. And Mar Z is going to read the last part here on the big book and vision for you. Our book is meant to be suggestive only and keep you until then, and then we'll pray to serenity prayer.
Good morning, Russ. Mar Z, gratefully recovered compulsive overeater in Virginia. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.